Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
That's right, baby. What's up? What is happening? It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. 3 hours of In This League goodness. In This Goodness, Bogman.
In This Goodness.
That's Scott Bogman. I am Chris Welch. I just killed the scorpion not more than 10 minutes ago.
Welcome to Arizona.
Yep. Arizona, live broadcasting to you from the beautiful state of Arizona. That is where In This League, Bogman and the Welch are located.
At least it was only 110 today.
Yep. I looked over to my right and I was like, what the hell is that thing? And I look at him like, is that a scorpion? I'm like, damn it. And I go over and I'm like, because you can never tell. Those little bastards, I mean, East Coast people have no idea. One of my favorite things, actually, is talking about scorpions, because people from the East, the concept
like, oh my
of it.
God.
Yeah, dude. It's like, what I liken it to is us being told about spiders in Australia. Like how America views Australia with spiders. It's how the East Coast views the West about scorpions. And I see this thing all rolled up, and I didn't trust it. You know, a normal person might be like, oh, this thing's dead. I'll try to pick it up. Uh-uh. I knew. And I threw something
well,
at
not
it.
Not with your hands.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, like you get like a paper towel or something, but that little bastard would have got you.
1,400 paper towels.
And then, yeah, wrap.
Yep.
And then he started, we know. And then he moved. And I was like, you son of a. So then I, in the studio, grabbed an autographed bat and, killed it with
the
an
nearest
bat.
Weapon.
Yep.
So you grab Negan's bat.
Yep.
Wrapped in barbed wire to
I
kill
went,
a little scorpion.
Eeny, meeny, mother. I didn't even wait. I treated it just like who was it? Glenn. Glenn. That scorpion was Glenn.
Spoiler alert. Jesus.
Come on, if you don't know. I mean, just whatever. That scorpion, I named him Glenn, and then I flushed him down the toilet after I like that. I wish I had thought of the Negan thing beforehand. I would have filmed it. I went, eeny, meeny. Not that I advocate for that, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I
scorpion's
mean,
scorpion's got to die.
Just got to bash a scorpion's head in.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can, like, gently put out. Not a scorpion.
Yeah,
though
mean,
I will say, though, the headphone thing keeps rubbing against my arm, and I'm a little uncomfortable. Little uncomfortable as things are rubbing against my arm.
We have these things, and I am the biggest wuss in the world about these things.
Oh, I know where
things.
You're going.
I mean, I haven't seen you around them. I feel like you would be worse around them than me.
Palo Verde?
Yeah, Palo Verde beetles, yeah.
No. We have been around them. I have a vivid memory of you and I at like 15 or 14 on a tennis court playing football. We used to play football on tennis courts. At night, and just, I don't know what you call, is it a flock? Is it a murder? I think it's a murder. A murder of Palo Verde beetles coming on the court and just scream running.
I noped right out. I was like, no way. I'm out of here.
No, they freak me out, but like you, it's another level.
Nope, won't do it. Just will not do it.
What do
I
you
refuse.
Think? Okay, so Bogman, you are standing next to Joe Rogan on Fear Factor, and you have to...
First of all, I never put myself in that situation.
Okay, but you're in it.
That's like you're surrounded by MS-13. So I'd be like, how? How did this happen?
Why am I with the Latin Kings here? I told you, I don't have your money. How much does it take for you to eat a Palo Verde beetle?
No.
What's the price?
Doesn't matter. I won't do it.
$1 million.
I can't. Like, I wouldn't be able to do it anyway. I would... Throw up everywhere, all over the place.
Okay, I got a better one. Gun to your head. You have to do one of two things. No, one of two things.
Pull the trigger.
Really, honestly here. A, eat one Palo Verde beetle. Or B, lay in a tank of Palo Verde beetles, but you don't have to eat any. You know, like how they would do the fish?
Definitely be eating it.
Okay. You know how they would do that? They'd put you in a big
tank.
But
I would ask them to pull the trigger because I would just
You'd grab the gun and shoot the Palivertebrate beetle in the face.
Yeah, I would. I would just risk my life to not have to do either one of those things.
But if you had to, you would eat a Palivertebrate beetle.
Yeah,
Palivertebrate
I couldn't
before.
Like to be honest. Like if there is a hell and I would go to it, that is what would happen.
It's a giant, like 80-gallon or whatever, 2,000-gallon fish tank,
right?
That you are laying in that is full of Palivertebrate beetles.
I would. I mean, ooh. That's my hell.
Oh, I just started shaking. Like, oh
yeah. Why? Why would you? I mean, that's. Didn't that dude die of that? I mean, they were the scarab beetles in the mummy. But in, like, the original mummy, didn't a guy get, you know, killed by a bunch of those things?
I think those were, like, locusts.
I mean, I don't think they were real. I think they were made up.
I'm pretty sure that, yeah, they didn't use real Palivertebrate beetles to really kill someone in a movie. But I think they were, like...
Well, it weren't Palivertebrate beetles. Well, see, they're called Palivertebrate beetles here because they burrow, and they can fly, by the way.
Dude, they are actually the most treacherous thing because they're... We should give a proper perspective. So, okay, I want you right now, because I'm assuming you're at home and you're holding a beer bottle in your hand like I am. Take the beer bottle and then, you know, right where the top, you know, the just the top of the beer, the neck, there you go. Cut the neck off. The rest of that bottle is the size of a Palivertebrate beetle. That's about right, right?
I mean, they're big, dude.
They're and about that size, maybe a antenna. Tad bit tinier.
I mean, look, I'm a big dude, and I've always been a big dude. I'm not tall, I'm just fat. So I've always been a larger dude. Like, I'm also built thick. Like, I have, like, thick shoulders and stuff like that. But there was one, my cousin and I were working on his car, and it flew into the, you know, into our garage, and I jumped on it. I literally jumped in the air, came down on the beetle, and I went, ha, and then it flew away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a problem. They're a massive problem.
Their armor is ridiculous. I'm surprised they didn't roll my ankle.
They
just
fly,
right off the
thing. They dig, they're huge, and they're terrifying looking. But I'll be honest with you. Actually, if one was in here, I'm not sure what I would do. I would have taken the other end of the bat, and I would have full-on Negan'd it.
Yeah, I would have just asked that same guy to kill me if it was in here with me right now.
That's true.
Any like,
meaning
that gun?
To my face.
Get me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we just discovered that, though. You would eat a Palivertebrate beetle before you laid in a bed of them.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. All right. That's a scary thought. Welcome in. It's In This League. InThisLeague.com. That's where you can check out the stuff that we got going on. All the podcasts that we have. We've got the football, the baseball. All of those are kicking off over at In This League. So subscribe to them on iTunes. We have Full 60 over at Fantrax. If you guys haven't checked out Fantrax, go check them out. They do it in a very good way, especially if you're a Dynasty or Keeper guy. And we do a show, Full 60 Fantasy Football, with Joe Pizzapia, Bogman, and myself. So there are so many places that you can listen to us. Plus, if you like the ramblings and you like some of the comedy and you want the shenanigans, go to patreon.com/ITL Army. Yep, like the stuff on the wall. Patreon.com/ITL Army. We do secret shows there. We have the group me rooms where you can join in all the chaos with us, and you can have, dare you say, so much fun. There's a lot of stuff that I don't want to talk about scorpions anymore because I'm thoroughly actually freaked out that everything
is
touching me.
I was somewhere and one of those Palivertebrate beetles went flying past me. And I was you know, freaked out. I got in my car, and there was like loose string in my sleeve, in my arm, and I hit the brake in the middle of the road, pull off to the right, and reach in, and then pull out the string, and just look like a maniac. I look like Lenny Dykstra's Uber driver.
That's sad. That's sad. I'm actually getting the tingles in my back right now. You know, the tingles where it feels like something's crawling on me.
It's crawling up your back.
Yeah, it's I don't know if that's – I wonder if that's more of a West Coast thing. What bugs are on the East Coast?
No, I'm roaches? Sure there's all kinds of roaches, grasshoppers, cicadas.
What are cicadas?
Cicadas – we have cicadas too. They're the really, really noisy ones.
Oh, yeah. They have up at North in Prescott. I don't call them cicadas. I call them the lost bugs.
The lost bugs.
Because you remember the smoke monster, how it sounded? That's how cicadas sound in a row. If you hear them in a tree, they're the lost bugs.
The lost monster always sounded like a cash register to me for some reason.
Yeah. But if you listen to cicadas, like, you'd be like, oh, it's a lost monster. Trust me.
All right. Yeah, they got all kinds of stuff. They got giant grasshoppers and
gold jacket, green jacket. Yeah, they got all that type of stuff. So a bunch of stuff that we're going to cover outside of obviously all the podcast shenanigans that we have. A lot of baseball. There are some other sport shenanigans to talk about. But I want to talk about the thing that kind of popped off on Friday. And it was a weird day and a weird rumor. And I want to get your take on it, plus the implications of what if it had happened. We've been hearing for how long is this rift with the New England Patriots, like Bill Belichick, Tom Brady thing? Is it like the last 8 months it's really kind of come to a head?
Yeah, I think it started probably close to the middle of last year where there was really, you know, the Jimmy Garoppolo trade was kind of the head of it from what I remember. Belichick didn't want to trade Garoppolo because he knows, you know, Brady's in his 40s, he's going to retire at some point. And then there was the whole, and I think even before that, there was a thing with Brady's trainer and how he wasn't allowed on the team plane anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's weird personalities, everybody thinking they're the best, you know, and this has been the best team for a long time. So why not? Why wouldn't they think
so? There's been tons and tons of rumors that have been floating around for the last 6-8 months or whatever. This, that, the other thing. This guy hates this person, this trade. Well, you know, we've had a lot of Gronk stuff that's gone on. There was a whole retirement, him not commenting on it. Then he's back. Here's what went down on Friday. I think the source of it, from what I garnered from the internet, surprisingly, was Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports, had put a tweet out. I could be wrong. There could have been other pieces of it. But from what I garnered, El Presidente from Barstool Sports, he put a tweet out there insinuating that this could be the final day that Gronk is a New England Patriot. And Barstool ended up putting out a video of how it went down, where one of the guys on their network, Fights, had got some inside information, where a source inside of the Patriots, or, you know, with knowledge, said, yo, like, Gronk is going to get traded. And this video behind the scenes showed them kind of like, well, why aren't we, should Portnoy say, why aren't we running with this? And then he just decided to go with it. So then the internet exploded in the morning about it, like, you know, rumors, everyone's picking it up,
like,
all these different
like
outlets.
Twitter does.
Yep.
I mean,
it was a storm of tweets that went out. Then I think Roto World and some other outlets were like, zero truth to this. So then it was kind of dying down after, I mean, outlets were speculating, GIFs were flying. It was nuts. The most interesting tweet I saw after it was being debunked, and I mean, Portnoy had fun with the whole idea, like, don't, you know, I will take none of the credit if I'm wrong, all the credit if I'm right. But the most interesting tweet was, why don't you read it off, Bogman? Who was it? Adam, who did we say it was?
Adam Kirkjian.
Kirkjian, yeah.
He said, from multiple sources, here's what I've heard, here's what I have, re the Gronk rumors, told Belichick wanted to trade him. Offers on the table with both the Titans and 49ers. He and Robert Kraft had a closed-door meeting to discuss. Tom Brady threatened to retire if the deal went through. Kraft nixed it.
And this guy was a former, like, Boston Globe or one of the Boston Papers writer. He's a blue check mark freelance writer, so take that what it is. He probably has his sources.
Boston Herald.
Boston Herald, there you go. Interesting that he said multiple sources. Then again, that was refuted, saying that, you know, people within the organization were sad that such a fake rumor would be out there. Exactly what you would expect. First off, do you think there's any reality to this? Do you think there was smoke around this fire?
This sounds dramatic even for these guys. So, and I just saw one from a tweet from Mark Daniels. Now, this could be something or nothing. It said, Gronk's actions on the practice field this past week were interesting. He legit screamed woo after most catches. He'd high step after the other catches. He was trash talking. Oh, and he launched the ball into a tree on the sideline. Seemed to me like he was free and happy. Now, if Gronk had requested this trade, then you would think this is not the actions of a guy who wants to be traded. But if he had nothing to do with it and this was just like a Belichick idea, then why wouldn't he be acting normal? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, this seems like it's something with all the drama that's been going on that gives it some credence. Like, if this was happening in Kansas City with Travis Kelce, you'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? No way this is true. Like,
but that whole idea.
You hear nothing of rockiness from that organization at all, but we have from the Patriots. So,
and that, then those type of antics or whatever are a total Belichick thing. Now, I thought the teams were really interesting because I think that can sometimes be telling in this whole process that the 49ers, I mean, I'm not sure so much about the Titans, but the 49ers made all the sense in the world. The Patriots and Niners have worked out multiple trades together. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wouldn't anybody want Gronk?
But I'm saying the connection-wise of the 49ers, you know, being able to pay the price, there's a Garoppolo connection. The Niners and Patriots have worked out multiple trades, and it gets Gronk out of the AFC, which that's why I didn't buy the Titans. I thought that was interesting from this whole thing. Like, I thought there was some credence to be taken there. I kind of think there's more smoke to this that's being led on. I know there's the whole zero this, zero that. The only thing that actually takes me away from this a bit is the news I want to talk about in the next segment about sexy Julian Edelman. The Edelman stuff kind of puts that into question. Like, why would they move one of their biggest targets when they just lost Julian Edelman?
Lot of sense for why Tom Brady would threaten to retire if this happened. You know what I mean?
That's a great. That's a fantastic point. Like, I kind of buy some of that stuff. And at the end of the day, what does it mean? I kind of buy the idea that Belichick wanted to trade Gronk. I kind of buy the idea that Tom Brady would threaten to retire if Gronk was going to be out of there. Those dudes are their best buds. You know, they make it happen. That trade rumor, though it's being kind of kicked out as a joke right now, I'm not so sure it's a joke. When we come back, I want to talk about, just for a minute, what the fantasy value of Gronkowski would be like in another organization, because that's just something we don't really talk about. Also, what the hell would go on with the Patriots? Where would be the offensive beneficiaries to it? Because there are going to be some guys that are going to be benefiting on the receiving end because Julian Edelman is facing a 4-game suspension for PED. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Gronk, Edelman, Patriots, more fantasy football on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. It's In This League. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. Ain't no scorpions in this studio. All of them are dead. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
In This League.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In This League.
Oh. Welcome back. This is In This League. You heard it right. ITL, them ITL boys. Bogman of the Well. Shea Boggs, would you want a chance to win two tickets to the 2018 World Series?
You know it. It'd be the second World Series game I've been to.
It's one more than I have. Well, you can go to dailyroto.com/DKMS, which I'm going to do because I would like to go to a game. There, you'll find a free DFS baseball contest that's going on every day. The contest, they're sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. I know you've heard them. They have been pretty much putting out their message anywhere they can because it's an important message. Because for many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. While 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their families, 70%, which is nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a stranger to step up and donate. Find out how you can help and play in free DFS contests with a shot at winning two tickets to a 2018 World Series game. Just go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. Rob Gronkowski. So
Gronk
smash. Gronk smash blood cancer. Smash. Obviously. I mean, we can't take anything from it. And it's almost to a point of like, I don't want to pander to people. this is a total like talk radio thing to do to pander to the idea. You know, Boston, what was it? NBC Sports Boston's Tom Curran reported zero truth to the whole thing, and everyone's really kind of just, you know, throwing mud on it. There's just,
I mean, this is one of those things that we'll figure out in Tom Brady's book, right? Like after he's done with his career and he writes a book on what a dick Belichick was to him his whole career, and but how he was necessary and blah, blah, blah. And then all the teammates that he had that weren't that good, but he was good. You know, like they'll have all that stuff. This is like, this will be one of the last chapters, you know, the Gronk trade that never was.
Be like, right after
to retire.
Be like, so, right after how to kiss six rings and your kid without making it weird.
Five rings.
Five.
Yes.
Yeah. We have probably have six. Yeah, that's true. It's five. As a Steeler fan, you have to.
Yeah, I got to correct you there. So.
Clear that up. Little five there. So I know there's zero truth to it, but to me, there's, it's kind of one of those, it's like a cry wolf thing. Like we've heard so much, like every time this comes about, and this isn't the first, second or third time we're hearing this type of stuff. Everyone wants to be like, there's no truth to it. There's no truth to it. Okay, man, why are we getting this, these salacious reports over and over again? And everyone just says there's no truth to it. Of course, that's what internally Belichick wants. No controversy, nothing. He won't comment on anything. I absolutely believe the mantra of that organization would be there's no truth to it, zero. No one acknowledge anything, and they're going to continue having the scuffle internally. I believe there is something to that. I would not be shocked if Rob Gronkowski was traded, but obviously I do think the Tom Brady thing, I think that's a real thing. I think that guy would throw a huge, huge fit if Gronk was gone, because you just lost your other best bud in Julian Edelman.
Right. I mean, look, if this is a made-up plant story, it's extremely believable. You know what I mean? It's not like, will the Patriots trade Tom Brady to the Browns for Baker Mayfield? Question marks. Like, it's not one of those headlines. Like, it makes sense because Gronk, you know, decided last month to come back. You know what I mean? Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have issues. That's a real thing. So, you know, the Patriots saying that I want to trade, you know, we want to trade Gronk before he eventually retires because we want to get something out of him while he's still playing makes sense. You know, and with Julian Edelman going down and them not having a ton of great receiving options, makes a lot of sense for Tom Brady to say, well, you know what? If we just lost Julian and then we're going to lose Gronk, why am I here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I would love
like,
it as
all
a 49er
of this is
fan.
Very believable.
I would love it as a 49er fan. What do you think his value would be in a new organization? Let's like take the 49ers, for example. You do get to play with someone you're familiar with Jimmy Garoppolo. You become the number one option in San Francisco in a Kyle Shanahan offense. I mean, would that be, I don't know, would it be more enticing?
I don't know if it changes a lot, to be honest with you, because yes, Gronk is still the number one tight end that you want. His overall value has dropped a little bit, but it's still Gronk and then 1A, and then you could put Kelce in his group just because Gronk is so injury prone.
I think there's an argument to be said that maybe it's even a tad bit, I don't want to call it, maybe I shouldn't call it a better spot. It's just like that offense is so spread around with Tom Brady and the Patriots and how they work. I feel like it would
Gronk
be very
is
focused.
Like the one consistent guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I think that wherever Gronk would go, if it was Tennessee or San Francisco, we can use those specifically. I think he goes to San Francisco, he's in the same opportunity that he was in New England as far as work share goes. It's just, if you're going to be in that same situation, you want Tom Brady.
You think anything goes down? You think anything in reality happens?
I don't think so. I think that there's one of two things. Either there is no truth to this at all, which is number one, or Tom Brady threatened to retire. That's something they got to take seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really want to go to...
And they can't have that.
Warrior the Destroyer? Come on.
And, dude, there wouldn't be a single person in that organization that would be willing to go on record and be like, yeah, that happened. Like, of course they're going to say there's zero truth. You can't... They cannot have that. They absolutely cannot have that. I don't know. I'm of the camp to say that I'll bet you...
If you're going to do that, you might as well trade Brady also.
I'll bet you there's 60 to 70% of this, it's reality. I really do. And I think a lot of other people would disagree. We actually should have hit P2P up to talk about this, because I think a lot of other people would disagree and just go with it. I think there's a lot of truth to this. Maybe some of it is scatterbrained, but you know, at the end of the day, the Tom Brady stuff really kind of falls in line. Julian Edelman going to be suspended. He's currently appealing for performance enhancing drugs, for PEDs.
Our guy in the Army called him Peddleman.
Peddleman. I like that. PED Edelman. What do you think that does when you look at some of these other options? Chris Hogan has always been kind of a popular name. Jordan Matthews seems to have been a late round sleeper. What is that going to do as far as like fantasy value goes? How are you going to approach some of these New England Patriot wide receivers?
Well, it's funny. We had, we saw a couple guys today discussing this in the Army, and it was, Julian is just off my board. You know, there's probably 50 guys that are in front of him now because he's going to miss four games. He's super injury prone, that kind of stuff. I don't know if it comes down to that far. I don't know if he drops that far, but he definitely has to take a significant hit as far as the guys that – the guys that are replacing him, I mean, they're already impressed by Jordan Matthews. And how does Jordan Matthews wind up finding himself in a situation where it looks like he could provide some value every single year? And he never does, right? Like, how long are we going to have to buy into this Jordan Matthews stuff?
I don't know, man. I feel like it almost feels Malcolm Mitchell-y to me with him. I feel like he's progressively going to keep going.
Too.
Yeah, like, but I'm saying the hype. Remember the hype that was going on with Malcolm Mitchell? Yeah. I worry a little bit that, like for instance, I get what you're saying about Julian Edelman. I still think there's a value to say
Jordan
he's,
Matthews. You mean
no for Julian Edelman for a minute?
Oh, okay.
Because I think for a minute here to say that there's no value with him. Like, I just don't buy it because he's such a PPR option when he's on the field there. It's the same thing. I mean, Mark Ingram's going for four games, and he's still going in the fourth round. I think Edelman, you can't take Edelman as a starter, of course, but Edelman is a great lottery ticket to buy as a non-starter that you could maybe float in there, because when he comes back, he's going to be dominant. You've got Gronk, you've got Edelman. I think Chris Hogan takes a big part of the offense. So I look at Jordan Matthews, and I wonder, based on where he's going now, sure, there's a deal. I think it is going to rocket over the next 2 months. And I worry the cost that he's going to start taking. I'm not sure how much I'm going to like it based on, like, if he struggles for two games in the season and they go heavy running in game one, he doesn't get a lot of action in game two. You're only going to get maybe like two dominant games out of him if you're lucky with it. You've also got Berrios that they brought in, or Berrios, however he pronounces Berrios. The name. Don't they still have Kenny Britt as well?
Yeah, they still have Kenny Britt. There's that, and this is the problem: is it's going to be scattered, because I think the number one guy is Chris Hogan. If you're looking at overall value for the rest of the season for the Patriots at wide receiver right now, Chris Hogan has to be the guy.
He takes a huge boost,
but he's another guy like Edelman. Like, he is like the Kmart version of Edelman, because he's not as good, and he's also injured all the time. So. He's got to be the guy that gets the biggest bump. But if you're looking for someone as a lottery ticket, oh, man.
He's going 36 overall wide receiver. Right? The Fantasy Pros, Edelman has dropped down to 30th so far. I think he'll keep going. Chris Hogan's at 36. So he's going as a wide receiver 3. He's probably going to bump up. The guys that are ahead of him right now, Emmanuel Sanders, Devin Funchess, Cooper Kupp, Jamison Crowder, Edelman, Corey Davis, Garcon, and Woods. That's all the same tier. I could see Hogan going ahead of all those guys.
I would put him over...
You won't do it on Corey Davis. I know you.
No, I wouldn't do Davis, and I wouldn't do Garcon. I think Woods is probably... Like, Woods, Crowder, Watkins. I'd kind of put him in that group.
What about Kupp? I'd put him over Kupp, I think.
I'd put him over Kupp, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he moves into the, like... 30s, maybe 28, 29. So he's like a mid-range wide receiver 3 right now. And I think
now what about Edelman? Let me ask you this. Yeah. Edelman or Jordy Nelson?
Jordy Nelson.
Guy wide receiver.
Yeah, oh, yeah. White wide receiver battle. I would go
Kelvin Benjamin or... I'm sorry, did you say Jordy?
Well, Jordy is going 42 right now. I think it's close with Jordy and Julian, to be honest with you. But I would lean, I probably lean Jordy Nelson, but not much further down what I consider
like
Julian
Aguilar,
Edelman.
Goodwin, Benjamin, any of those guys you taking over?
I think so, because here's what's, but here's the important factor though. He can't, I can't take my third wide receiver as Julian Edelman. It's got to be four or five. He's got to, I've got to have three options I really like in front of him.
Why aren't
so,
the Patriots signing Dez Bryant?
That's a great question. It's a
why are the Patriots not going to immediately go out and sign Dez Bryant?
Do they feel that confident in the wide receiver core they have? And this is what Dez Bryant's been waiting for, by the way. Well, he's been waiting for Edelman, this to flush out.
Edelman is
great point.
Edelman is suspended and injury prone. Chris Hogan is injury prone.
Is Chris Hogan really injury prone?
Look up his games. I think he played like. I could be mistaken, but I know he's missed a significant amount of time.
I feel like that might have been 1 year. I'm going to look
Malcolm
it up
Mitchell
now.
Broke his arm, and he's still not practicing right now.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it was 1 year, by the way. He played from in 2013, 14, and 15. He played all 16 games. In 2016, he played 15 games. Last
how
year,
many
he
of those
played
games did? Okay, so how many receptions in those games?
Oh, I mean, but he's never been a focal part of the offense.
See, that's kind of my point, is you make him a focal part of the offense, and now he's hurt. Because he got hurt in the playoffs in 2016, I think. I think the game where he had 78 catches for 1,900 yards against the Steelers in the AFC Championship, I think he also got hurt in that game. I could be mistaken. I don't, you know.
I don't think I would designate him as an. I don't think you can put him, like, as you're talking about Edelman and Chris. You can't say Chris Hogan is an injury-prone player. One more another injury, I'll buy it. But he's still.
I think he's always had nagging stuff going
maybe.
On.
Yeah, but, he's scrappy, but Bogman.
So anyway, you have Malcolm Mitchell who's hurt. Kenny Britt sucks. You know,
they got Berrios. They got Berrios. They like.
They signed somebody else receiver. Too. Who's the guy from the Raiders that they signed?
I'm looking right now. Cordarrelle Patterson. They've got Cordarrelle Philip Patterson. Dorsett. God, they got a lot of.
They got a lot of B guys, but what? Like to me,
but that's why I like Chris Hogan a lot.
I understand. Look, you should like Hogan, and Edelman was a great target.
That's right, brother. These 24-inch pythons, dig it.
Edelman was a great target before the suspension, but now you got to think of this. You know, you get 13 weeks of regular season, so Edelman already is out what looks like, you know, almost a third of those games. And how many other games is he going to miss when he comes back? He misses two games, so he's missing. I think you can put him down and miss two games. On average, let's say, if you're being fair.
When Edelman goes down, he goes down for the season.
Right.
So I don't buy the two-game thing. He's going to play.
Don't draft Edelman. Off my list.
Yeah, not off
He's going to get hurt, and he's suspended. Screw Edelman. Unless you're in a deep league, not doing it.
Jericho over here, you're like,
14,
you made the list.
16, you got to be 14 team, 16 team at best to be.
You don't
to be
think Edelman out. Is the best number four wide receiver that you could have on a team? Because I think he is the best.
I don't know. You know, you see some of these guys down in this list here.
You're not going to start. If you have three wide receivers.
Marquise Lee is wide receiver 46, and he's a number one.
Yeah, okay. But here's my argument real quick, is that he's not going to start for 4 weeks. There's no bye week at week four. By the time Edelman is back, then you can start getting into your bye weeks, and you can start him.
I for 2 weeks, and then he's going
to
get hurt.
I mean, I can't get into that argument with you. I have to go off the merits of he is going to be a dominant ball hawk in that Patriots
He was super healthy
offense.
Last year when he missed the whole year, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he got hurt. I mean, he's taking steroids. He got hurt. Brittle bones. Brittle bones when you're cheating.
I don't know, man. Like, there are guys down here that I would take over Edelman right now that aren't moving up on this list that I think will. I would take Shepard over him. I'd take Nelson over him. I'd take Kelvin Benjamin.
I might take Shepard over. And again, if we are in this territory, this is what makes this a difficult
Alan Hearns. Alan Hearns is the number one for the Cowboys right now. You want him or Edelman?
If I only have – if it's a starter, I'm probably going to take Hearns. If I'm going for my number four, I'm taking Edelman. If it's a starter, which that's why this isn't a clear conversation. When we say wide receiver 36, okay, fun. That's a starter in this format, but people might be hawking up on wide receivers. So your third starter, you might be digging into the 40s. I can't take the risk unless I have back-to-back picks in taking Edelman as a starter and then hoping another good guy comes. Like, you can't pass up, to your point, I think it's hard to pass up Allen Hurns, who's a starter, for Edelman and then miss out, and then you've got to come back and you've got to get, like, Kenny Stills as your starter.
I just think
that's
if
a bad
you're taking
way.
Your risk, right, you know, and I know rookies are super risky, but DJ Moore or Edelman?
As a starter or a bench player?
Just as a player, wide receiver 4, let's say. He's not
Edelman.
A starter.
Edelman.
Okay, I'll never do that. I would much rather. I just think that DJ Moore has more upside. He could wind up being the number one target.
Agree. I don't agree with that in redraft. Edelman has more upside. Absolutely, 100%.
Edelman's going to miss games. He's already going to miss.
No, but, okay,
guaranteed.
But that's not the thing. You're saying upside. You can't throw injury into that conversation. Who has the most upside? It's Edelman. If you want to get into that stuff,
I disagree.
DJ Moore could not play. He could not be a starter. He could get hurt.
But also
you're only
upside.
Talking upside.
Also, okay, well then don't say that, because if it's upside, he could get all the catches for the Panthers. So
okay, well we'll continue this when we come back. A little bit more Edelman talk, plus a guy that I grew up watching is not going to go and celebrate his induction into the Hall of Fame because he's making it all about himself. Shocker. We'll be back. It's In This League. Bogman and the Welsh.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face?
Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In This League.
Bogman, you want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Well, only because I can't.
Yeah, because you physically can't.
Take me 2 hours to drive to punch you.
I'll stick the scorpions on you, because they're all around me. All around the world, and yeah.
You're the scorpion king, are you?
I am. I'm like the Rock.
You're the Rock.
Bad animation and all. All right, so we were having a good debate when we were going to break here, and I decided to put it to vote. So if you happen to be listening, you can maybe jump on. There's still time. You can vote for, I put, as a wide receiver 4 in PPR, who would you rather have this year? Because I think it's a loaded question. I mean, and especially how we left it when we were going to break, to say from a upside perspective, we know the upside of Julian Edelman, and we know what Tom Brady can do, plus you take some weapons out of there. I think it's a no-brainer that Julian Edelman is the upside play. DJ Moore is kind of the floor because you get 16 games from him. But we don't know how much is that offense going to center around DJ Moore. He's not even the number one receiver on that team.
I just don't understand. And I understand upside. But if upside, maybe Edelman could win it. But I just think we have no idea what DJ Moore's upside is. It could be gigantic. So I think that
could
I would just take the risk on DJ Moore. The Panthers don't have a number one wide receiver. Devin Funchess blows. Like, he's a decent 3.
Well, they have Greg Olsen.
But he's the number one. They do have Greg Olsen.
And they have
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah,
I understand that. But every single week, somebody else gets a ton of catches in New England. It's Dwayne Allen. It's, Jordan Matthews will be big 1 week. I just don't understand why anybody would want to take Edelman. Like, I mean, sure, he could play 4 games, but or he could only miss the 4 games, but he's going to miss 8 games.
I mean, that's the problem, though. Okay,
I'll bet whatever you want that that Julian Edelman plays 8 games or fewer this year.
Oh, really?
Anything you want.
Okay, I'll take that bet. I'll absolutely.
How much?
So if he plays 8 games, it's a push? Or it's a win by
he
me.
Plays 8 games, it's a push.
No, you said anything less. So 8 games I win.
No, 8 games is pushing. We're making this bet right now. You don't get to make up your own rules like you do every single time.
How many wrist
8
bucks?
Games pushes.
Okay. 8 games pushes. 9, 10, 11,
9
12
you
win. Okay.
9 you win, 7 I win.
Okay. Do we want to do a money bet or do we want to do a food-based bet? We need
whatever you want.
We need to write this down. Somebody listening, let us know so we can put this on the bets. We always do an end of the draft season episode right before the season starts where we go over predictions and bets. We play the chicken, all that type of stuff. We need to remember this one. So what do you want to do? You want to do?
I know you want to remember this one because you think you're good. You don't want to remember the rest of them because there's a chance you won't be right.
100%.
You're very confident in this one.
Yeah, 100%.
You're usually not this confident.
He's going to be very healthy missing all those games, those 4 games.
Yeah, I'm sure all those steroids made him really healthy.
He's going to have time for his bones to repair from taking all those illegal drugs. It's going to be
well,
out of the system.
That whole year that he missed last year should have helped him, right? But he still had to take steroids.
Well, he didn't get hurt, though. That's the key.
What do you
want to
bet? I'm willing. Whatever.
I don't know. I mean, we can bet $20 or we could do like a... You know, we could do a bet where you have to eat
a Palo
Verde beetle. You have to eat a Palo Verde beetle.
Well, I'm not going to do that ever.
Okay. Right.
So there's nothing worth risking that
for. Well, you
for.
Said anything.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess I didn't mean it.
Okay.
How about the loser has to sing a song of the winner's choice on this show?
Oh. I like it. That's a good bet.
Whole song. The Welsh will find the instrumental version, and then you have to do the entire lyrics.
Yeah, you'll have to sing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I won't. You will.
And
I mean, we'll be
song.
Off the air by then anyway.
Yeah,
we can
that's
do
true.
It. We
definitely
can do
won't.
It on in this league pod.
They're going to be like, you guys going to keep talking about scorpions and fast food? And we're like, yeah. Like, all right. Yeah, so we won't have to do that. All right, so it's relative to FNTSY. No money, apparently. No eating disgusting things. It'll just be singing a song. Sing us a song of merriment? Merriment?
What?
I don't know. What's that
singing,
song? Sing us a song.
Are you singing Robin Hood songs? I don't know what you're singing.
Everyone knows it. Everyone knows that song. Isn't that Freddie Mercury? Sing us a song of merriment. No?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but you're just so bad that I don't recognize it.
Yeah, maybe.
So I'm not 100% sure what we're doing.
So I put this poll out. Is it the Welsh is my Twitter handle. As a wide receiver 4 in PPR, who would you rather have this year? Very early voting, as I'm staring at this, is in. Ooh, changed a little bit. Julian Edelman or DJ Moore? Currently, Julian Edelman. Sexy Julie. Do you even like that name, Julian? Is winning 68% to DJ Moore's 32%. Our friend Dylan Lurch of Reddit Infamy decided to chime in and say, I take Edelman's 12-game total over Moore in 16 straight up, let alone the point-per-game difference.
Right. I'm glad he did that early so that could skew everyone voting. Maybe stick to defenses, Dylan. Dylan's our friend, I can say.
Little quick on that draw is what you're saying?
I said you mean 6-game total because Edelman can't stay on the field.
Oh, okay. Did you say that? I like it. Oh, yeah. I see it. There you go. Yeah, it was.
and commenting. He said it was 6-6 when I voted. And now, of course, it's well in your face. That's fine. I mean, I'll just start thinking of songs for you to sing.
Yeah. Matt Rudolph says, I don't know if this will be it will even be particularly close.
That's fine. So. You know, look, we can have disagreements all the time. And everyone knows that. And this is less. I do this way less than I used to. I used to be the guy that's like, nah, that guy's injury prone. I'm not taking him at all. You know, and I am not doing that anymore. And my baseball teams that I've drafted this season have improved because of it, because I take some risks here and there. And wide receiver 4 is not a bad risk to take. All I'm saying is that if I'm going to take the risk, I would rather take it in a guy like DJ Moore having a good connection with Cam Newton than I would look, you know, Tom Brady loves Julian Edelman, and we know the rapport, but he's older. He missed the entire season last year. He's suspended because of steroids, which help you get healthy. And he's
they help you work harder. They might help you get healthy, necessarily.
Okay, but you take them to get back on the field because you can work harder. And
yeah, it's a good point. They actually, it is supposed to, in theory, steroids and performance-enhancing drugs would help repair the muscle tears and stuff so you can work out more and you can, you know, do more. So I guess I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I just, Edelman is not a guy that I trust, you know, and I was kind of like, all right, he's coming off this injury. You know, I was excited about him, but you're already missing four games. You're already missing four games. And maybe you're right. Maybe I wasn't looking at the upside, but I still would rather take the rookie.
I mean, I think there are, and by the voting there, you know, in the, we're in the 30% range. It's moved consistently. Dylan said, perhaps, but I'll take it. 16 game wide receiver four or fives are plentiful enough. Edelman can be a legit wide receiver two in that lineup. And that's my point to it. Of 12 games of a legit wide receiver,
I think they
two.
Have the same type of upside. You know what I mean?
See, I don't agree. That's where I get lost with it. I know where you're going with it, and you have studied DJ more than me, and I understand the logic in the scenario of, like, he could be the number one on that team. I don't think those two guys can be on the same plane if given the same amount of games, and I think Edelman is going to have a higher rank, potentially by a much higher margin, in 12 games than Moore will have in 16.
So 12 game, give me a 12 game total for Julian Edelman. Like, what are we looking at? Like, how many catches?
For sexy Julian. I think Julian, I'm going to see. Okay, in 2015, he played 9 games, caught 61 balls for just under 700 yards. In 12 games, I think Edelman legitimately could catch 75 to 80 balls and be close to 1,000 yards. Okay. In 12 games.
I don't think that's impossible for DJ Moore to hit. I think that's just aggressive.
In 2014, he played 14 games. That's not a good track record. He's actually the only time was in 2016 where he played 16 games. No, in 2013 as well. But in 2014, he played 14 games, caught 92 balls for 972 yards and 4 touchdowns. So I think the 75 catches is on target. Maybe I'm too high on the yards. You know, he is a PPR guy. Maybe it's more like 80 catches, 800 yards, and 5 or 6 touchdowns, but that's what makes him close to a wide receiver too in that format.
I don't see he didn't lose a step after ACL surgery. So,
well, no, he had performance enhancing drugs. Of course he didn't. He's doing okay. He was doing okay with himself. And he's got 4 more games to rest up.
One thing's not debatable. He's a cheater.
Yeah, no, 100%.
He's a sexy cheater.
He is, and you know what? It's a sexy thing to do, apparently, is take PEDs, is what we're talking about. And
people are like, what are these guys talking about?
Yeah, Trailer Park Boys.
If you are saying that, just watch, like, one episode of Trailer Park Boys, please.
Yeah, I wish I had the clip in front of me. I would insert the sexy Julian statement. I guess where I get kind of thrown off is...
Did you just say you would insert sexy Julian?
The statement. Yeah. I mean, okay. If I had not said statement, it would have been major phrasing. Is, and maybe I'm tainted a little bit by last year's wide receiver crop. Think about how the high-end guys underperformed. The only guy that was really great was Juju Smith-Schuster. And a lot of the top guys kind of bombed out. So you look and you go, the Panthers offense is not a plethora of fantasy options. So I look at that and I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't think DJ Moore can be a 1,000-yard receiver in the first year. That's why, to me, it's not relatively close.
Something I would bet on. You know what I mean? I wouldn't sit here and bet and tell you, hey, look, this is what's going to happen. He's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver and all this stuff. But I'm just – so I pulled up a 2017 article. It was May 3rd or March 3rd, 2017 from Mike Castiglione in Pro Football Focus. And it was top 10 rookie wide receiver years.
When was this? 2000 when?
This 2017.
Oh, okay.
So this is – Amari Cooper had – let's see, it looks like 72 catches for 1,070 yards. Julio Jones had 54 for 959.
Is this their rookie year?
This is their rookie seasons.
Oh, yes. Okay. I gotcha. Sorry, I wasn't
Keenan Allen, 71 for 1046. Marquise Colson, 70 for 1038. AJ Green, 65 for 1057. Calvin Benjamin had a good rookie year with Cam Newton, 73 for 1,008 and 9. Mike Williams from Tampa Bay in 2010, 65. Michael Thomas had 92 catches, 1,100 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Mike Evans had 68 catches. Odell Beckham had 91, 1,305. I mean, obviously, you don't – like, I think in Amari Cooper type of year, 72 catches, 1,000 yards, and 6-7 touchdowns, somewhere in that area. Like, it's not out of the question of rookie wide receivers. Now, you don't see – a ton of gigantic upside years for rookie wide receivers because they're adjusting. I mean, there's many, many things. There's a rapport with the quarterback. There's a new system.
I feel like he's got a
physical
be,
wall. Sometimes they hit too.
He's got to be the number one
this many games.
But he's got to be the number one guy to do that. Like, tell me who the other. Like, I get all those numbers that you listed off, but like, who are the other guys in those offense? He's the number three option. Where Christian McCaffrey is going to catch another 80 balls. Greg Olsen, as long as he stays on the field, is going to catch 80 something balls.
I don't know if Greg Olsen is aging and. Yeah. You know, he's aging and he's not going to be the number one option. And, you know, if you want a Christian McCaffrey to catch 80 balls, why would you draft a guy like DJ Moore? Like, I still think that he's has the ability to do that. I just don't know if that, like, do we want to rely so heavily on a running back? Sometimes we just want a running back to run.
I agree with that personally. I'm just not sure that's where, you know, like with the moves that they made, bringing in CJ Anderson.
Greg Olsen was on the team when Calvin Benjamin came in 2014.
But they didn't have a guy like Christian McCaffrey. Like, Christian McCaffrey is essentially a wide receiver one in that offense. Greg Olsen will still do Greg Olsen things.
D'Angelo Williams is catching a lot of passes
I want to find, like, does Mike Clay have rookie projections? Because, I mean, he's not
the best.
Oh,
they're going to be horrible. Okay, when you find them, I'm going to lay out a guess of what I think he has for DJ Moore. Are you ready?
Okay, wait, hold on. Let me see if I found it. Oh, yeah. No, put out your guess.
Okay. No. Let me see my guess first.
Okay.
Okay, I think it's going to be 38 catches for 495 yards and two touchdowns.
I don't see his projections. I remember when he, because during the draft, he put out his projections. And I feel like you might be kind of close with that. Like, I think DJ Moore, it's safer to be
those
like.
Those are also like when you're putting out projections, you don't want to look like a silly goose. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you seriously, seriously temper those expectations. So, if we're looking at just upside too, I mean, think about that. I mean, DJ Moore he's a first round pick. He's got a ton of talent. So. I think if you're looking for a floor, yeah, that's probably about right for the floor. So I'm trying to look up the.
I might have found it. What are you trying to look up?
I'm looking up the Carolina Panthers 2014 to see who else did what when Calvin Benjamin had his good rookie year here.
Okay, I think you're really close. These are the ESPN, I believe these are Clay's projection. Here are his projections, and you are wildly close. What did you say again?
I think I said like 38 catches for 490 yards and two touchdowns.
Okay, so his projections, these are closer, a little closer to where I'm at. 40 catches. I would project closer to 50. 500 and about 50 yards and three touchdowns. Those are the projections on DJ Moore. Like, they have Christian Kirk being higher. Like, I see more of a, I could see a 50 catch, 650 yards, four touchdowns from DJ Moore. Like, that's where I'm looking at him.
So Greg Olsen caught 84. Kelvin Benjamin had 73. Cotchery had 48. Jonathan Stewart had 25.
Corey Brown, you go. 48 for DJ Moore. that's the number three.
Okay. I just don't think he's going to be the number three. So okay. I think he is, like, if McCaffrey is one, Olsen is 1A or 2A and Moore is 2B. I think you would split that total of, you know, 110 evenly, maybe. So how about 65 catches? Look, Edelman can catch. Edelman can catch 65 catches, but since he's only going to play six games, that's averaging over 10 catches a game. Yeah. I just don't see that happening.
I mean, that's the argument. I'll never be able to get past that argument. Like, that's why we can't have nice things
just
in this
argument.
Just
be ready to sing California Girls at the end of the
Which
year.
Which one's that one?
That's the Katy Perry song.
Oh, God. Really? How does it go?
What do you want me to sing
that's
it right
what
now?
I was trying to get.
What,
I was trying
think
to get,
I'm an idiot?
I was trying
Give
to get you
break.
To sing it. California.
How does it go?
Yeah, I think
Shut
I know.
Up.
I was in California Love. Out on jail, fresh out of bail, California dreaming. Soon as I step on the scene, I'm Aaron Hoochie screaming. Fiend of money and alcohol, the life of a West Side. So. Okay, that's what I know. That's about all the lyrics I know. the poll results, 73%. Julian Edelman, 27%. DJ Moore, there is sanity in the world, apparently. But I'll tell you this, pray to God, DJ Moore isn't better than Julian Edelman, because we will never hear the end of it. guaranteed. Julian Edelman goes down, it's going to be a messy situation. Don't go anywhere. Hour two is coming up. I do want to talk about the T.O. situation. We've got some baseball talk because pitchers are going down left and right. One of our favorites might be down for a while, and the good old DH debate in the NL is back up. So we got a lot to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Hour two coming up of In This League. That's Bogman. I'm the Welsh. We'll be back.